Greetings, everyone. This is Char. We just wanted to take this time and to thank all of you, all of our listener friend listeners, for your unwavering support. We do realize that it's been a really, really long time since we've released an episode, and we just want you to know that we have not forgotten about you. It's just that we are living real life, and life has actually been lifing, and so we just needed to take a moment and deal with life. So we just wanted to let you know that for this episode 17, it was actually recorded on July 4th. So any reference to time, the date, or anything like that, just keep that in mind that the date was July 4th, 2023. We appreciate your understanding. We appreciate your patience. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. And we will come back very soon on a regular basis so we can finish this book, so we can see if Kiba is going to continue and read The Great Hunt as well and continue on this journey. So thank you again and enjoy episode 17.
Did you miss me?
We're back.
Oh, man. 10,000 years will give you such a quick in the neck.
It's been a minute.
Wow. Oh, it feels good to be behind the mic again.
I know.
Okay, no, here we go. We starting already.
I know. We're going to be here for another 5 hours.
I know.
We got to make up for the past 3 weeks.
I feel like they'd appreciate it, though.
I know,
they'd be like, wow.
Yeah.
These ladies.
I hope y'all turned your volume down.
You already, listen, what is this episode? I've lost the count. We're in the double digits.
17.
You should have known.
Yes.
To play this at the medium volume.
Yes. Yes.
You already know. Welcome back,
Jumbo. All
of my listener friend listeners. In case you got a little lost, it wasn't you, it was us.
Yes.
You are tuned into What in Color, still the dopest black woman hosted podcast for still the preeminent Wheel of Time series. I'm Kiba.
And I am still Char.
Jumbo.
Jumbo, my sister.
Hey.
I feel like I should give you a hug, right?
No. Hi.
We're hugging each other.
We're hugging. You just can't see it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And we're hugging all of you.
We are. Hello, listener, friend, listeners. How y'all doing?
Listen, life has been lifing.
Listen.
And we just needed to take a minute to live life.
Self-care.
It is okay. Important. Es importante.
And not to say that this can't be a part of our self-care, right?
Right.
But there was just so much
going
on.
And still,
you know, we are taking all of your whatever form of positive energy that you want to send our way, whether it's prayer or holding space or a meditation, you lighting a candle or some incense, you taking a walk in our name. Do it.
Yes.
Do it for us.
We receive it.
We need it. We appreciate it. We are delting mad hard on the fly because there was no instruction manual. Newsflash to me, you know.
Basically.
So, Char.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask you how you've been because I know. and I know you don't want to really get too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, listener, friend, listeners. But, you know, I just want to look you in your eye. from across this table.
To see what I am thinking.
To see what you're feeling.
That dream is over. You gotta sink in. I tell all of you, like I told all of them, what you say to me is still paper thin word.
I don't know this one.
Shout out to MC Light.
Oh no, honey. That was MC Light?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm ashamed.
From the 80s.
So. I'm ashamed. Well,
it's okay. It's an old one. It's a pretty old one.
Not quite as ashamed anymore when you say it's from the 80s.
Yeah, paper thin. Paper thin.
But, you know, MC Light must be memorized. She must be committed to memory, you know.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with MC Hammer.
Oh.
Listening, friend, listeners. I'm looking at y'all. All right. This my hip hop Aja, y'all better know the difference now.
Yes, that's importante.
Es importante, indeed.
So how have you been?
Ooh, I have been faking
faking it till you make it.
I have been faking adulthood mad hard.
It is all good. It is all good. Yeah. So now we get to take a little break.
Yes.
And, you know, just go into this world.
Yeah. This fantasy world. I low-key missed it.
I've missed it as well.
I'm going to tell, I'll be very honest. These two, y'all almost lost me.
We're in the road trip chapter.
Baby. Baby. Almost like, I'm tired. I'm sick of
it. Are we there yet?
Move it. Beat feet. Move it along. This is like 8 chapters of the same thing.
It's literally these 4 chapters, chapters 31 to 34. It's literally just one long road trip.
Man, I didn't sign up for that. This was almost a real short season. But I pushed through. I pushed through, y'all. Yay! Yay!
She had to remember which.
I had to remember which button. Which button? We haven't pressed.
We haven't done this in a long time.
I know. So
what is a podcast anyway? Right, I feel like my mom right now.
I'm about to say this is gonna be some raw editing, a la ode to episode 1.
Listen, let me tell you, I might not even edit this episode. Y'all might just get it raw. Like,
oh yeah, baby, I like it raw. Yeah, baby, I like it raw.
Cause we's tired, yo.
And let me tell you something. We're recording in my very small office.
Yes.
In my very small apartment.
Yes.
And we, because we love our listener friend listeners, decided to turn the fan off so that you didn't hear the fan.
Right.
And the window's closed so that you didn't hear the outside.
Yes.
And the door is closed so that you don't hear my living room. So guess what that means? We are in a sauna.
We are hot as fuck right now.
We are boiling. We're drenched in sweat right now. And we're doing this because we want your sound quality, although it may be very loud, to be at least clear.
Yes.
So... you're welcome.
Yes.
Hit the Patreon. You're welcome.
Support us. Speaking of which.
Oh, it's my favorite time.
Speaking of which.
It's my favorite part.
You know, we have the same patrons from 3 weeks ago.
Okay, and we're going to read them again.
So much. We love y'all so much for staying with us.
Yes.
Even when we had to take a break.
Yeah.
And just, you know, giving us grace and understanding.
Yes.
That we're human.
Yes.
And, you know, shit happens.
All the time. Nobody. See, this is the thing they don't tell you when you're growing up. Shit happens literally all the time.
All the time. All the time.
And they don't tell you how to deal with it.
Nope. Nope. So.
I want a refund. who I speak to? Who is the manager?
I don't know who you speak to, but I'd like to shout out some dope folks
who
are supporting us just because. Not even getting any benefits yet.
No.
And I know we always say it.
I know.
But we're going to...
Say it one more time.
So it's coming.
It's on its way.
the other tiers for Patreon, they're coming. But in the meantime, thank you so much, Aradia, Koala Sadai, Lumen, Laura Shady, Mistress Zubby, Goat Brother, Melissa.
Yes.
Hey, oh my gosh, girl, we are so sorry about that episode. Yeah, we gotta get you back on here. Miss K.
Hey, girl.
Rob Christensen.
Hi.
Dr. H.
Hey, Dr. H.
Jack,
baby.
Jack Shadows.
Woo!
Bane and Chia.
Hey, babe.
Malkier Talks.
Hey, Malkier Talks.
Leah.
Hi.
Light Blinded Fool.
Hey there, Light Blinded Fool, a.k.a. Matrim.
DT.
Woo!
Screaming Sput Monkey.
Ah!
Steven Reese Cars.
What's up?
Spencer.
Here.
Iman.
Hey.
The OG, Jason Denzel.
Hello there.
J. George Justin Moreau.
Good sir.
April, Anya, Ashokova, Charlie Edmonds, TT78, Shelly, Ian,
yes,
and Skeeterish.
Skeeterish, what's good, y'all?
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Like, really.
Because we ain't even been giving you an episode and y'all still supporting.
Yeah.
This is really crazy.
This is dope.
This really I love dope this.
Yeah.
So. We got to send y'all like a sticker or something.
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 Right? They need something, right?
You know what they need? They need the other tiers. We're bullshitting.
That, yeah. We just need
we're bullshitting.
To just get up on it.
Yeah. You know? So let's. Because we're going to put our brain. What?
Tools of the incompetent.
Tell out somebody. Nothing,
and those who specialize in them are seldom good at anything else.
I'm not even going to ask you where you got that from.
We're not going to
Oh, no, I know. Moving. But I know. I know.
We're going to keep it moving. All right. So.
Yeah.
Do we even remember what's going on here?
No. We don't. But our listener friend listeners do because they probably just heard this episode like last week. The last episode last week. And they're like.
Well, you know what? We did give everybody a time to catch up. Anyone
we
who
did.
Hasn't, you know, caught up on all the episodes.
Yeah. That's what happened.
So y'all can catch up.
That's exactly what happened.
But now we need to catch up.
Now we need.
We haven't been in this
now
world.
Now we're behind.
In 3 weeks. So we don't know mm-hmm. what the fuck is going
you
on.
You know what was going on?
A road trip?
We're going on a trip. We're going on a trip. We're going on a trip. I was just like, oh, another in. Oh, another dark friend. Oh, another trip. Another in. Another dark friend.
That's it. We've recapped the whole four chapters.
Oh, really cry me a river. I was ready to throw the book in the garbage. I said, y'all lied. To me, what is happening on right now? Why can they not seem to
get anywhere?
No, and I knew it was gonna be. They were like, "Yeah, it's gonna be a couple of days before Camlin or whatever." And I'm like, "All right." I didn't think RJ was gonna sit there at his typewriter and crack his knuckles and dead ass give me the entire 37-day pilgrimage between White Bridge and Camlin.
And
he didn't even sprinkle anybody else in there.
No, we strictly stuck with the road trip. And he did a little back and forth. You know, how did you feel about that?
Annoyed. Because what is happening?
Yeah, it got a little confusing.
Oh, man.
The timeline. So those of you who, you know, who are reading with us, who have read, you know that they'll mention getting a ride from somebody and then they'll go back and tell you how they got to that point, and then we go back and we're like, yeah, it's really weird. So, all right, let's get into it.
Yeah.
So we are at chapter 33.
Finally.
Chapter 33 is called The Dark Waits. And last week, or last 3 weeks, Rand and Matt had just escaped from Four Kings from the inn called the Dancing Cartman.
Mm-hmm.
And Rand apparently channeled lightning, and he does not realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he knows he did that.
Mm-hmm.
But he blew a hole in the wall, and Matt can't really see too well because he was staring directly at the light.
He was a light blinded fool, if you will. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's where we are in chapter 33. And the symbol is the Heron Mark sword.
Heron
click. And we are still in Rand's perspective.
And still.
Where you love to be.
Oh, so fun.
And so we start out this chapter because it's going back and forth, right? Mm-hmm. Timeline wise. So Rand and Matt are in a cart. You know, they're getting a ride from someone. They're traveling east on the Camlin Road. Rand's head feels like it wants to float away.
Mm-hmm.
It's about midday. The towns are getting closer and closer, you know, as they get further away from Four Kings. The farmer whose cart they're in, his name is Chaim Kinch.
Mm-hmm.
They've traveled through a few villages already. And as they leave one village, Matt and Rand start talking about, you know, are we still being chased? Like, what's good? You think they're, you know, still after us. And I guess Master Kinch is like listening, but not listening to them talk about, you know, who they're running from or whatever. Matt's eyes don't seem to hurt as much as before. And Rand is feeling much better. So apparently he dealt with some sickness, which we don't get into until later in the chapter when they do a flashback.
Poor child.
So while they're on the road, a bunch of Queen's Guards pass them on horseback. They had never seen or heard of Queen's Guards in the Two Rivers, despite the Two Rivers technically being under the Queen's rule.
Yeah.
But they, you know, they're so far away that they don't even know mm-hmm. anything about Queens or Queens Guards, anything like that. And so Master Kinch is like, well, where the fuck y'all from that y'all don't know what Queens Guards look like? And mm-hmm. so this time what I found interesting is Matt is the one being discreet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Matt is like, yeah, we from far. And Miranda's like, we're from the Two Rivers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is one point for Matt. You give him a point?
No.
Okay. So
you thought.
So yeah. So Master Kinch notes like, yeah, Two Rivers is almost at the border of the realm. So just to
way off down near yonder.
All the way there as far west as Andor gets, basically. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so Rand thinks about how Two Rivers, each village in the Two Rivers, they just handle their own situations. Mm-hmm. They don't know anything about any queen or queen's guards or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And he wonders what Egwene's dad how he would respond if he knew about some queen's guards or right. some, you know, like whatever. So Master Kinch gets to the path that leads to his farm. Mm-hmm. And he basically tell him this is the last stop on this train.
Please kindly get your shit and get up shit, off get of my wagon. Out.
Right. But he does kindly offer them a place to stay. He's like, listen, you know, I'm pretty good at judging character. I don't think y'all are dark friends, whatever's mm-hmm. you know, something's chasing y'all, but nobody comes here to my farm. Mm-hmm. You can, you know, come and stay here. But Matt is being Matt. Mm-hmm. And you know, he's like, fuck you know about dark friends mm-hmm. or whatever. So Master Kinch is like, all right, suit yourselves.
Go right? ahead. Like, go ahead then.
Go ahead on. So, you know, they get out the cart or whatever. And so Matt apologizes to Rand, you know, because they probably do need to rest. But Rand says, don't worry about it. We can't afford to stop, you know, just to rest. So let's keep going, mm-hmm. you know, towards the next village, which is Carrie's Ford. So now we get a flashback mm-hmm. and we go back to when they immediately left Four Kings mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and escaped from when Rand channeled.
Yeah.
And they escaped from Gold, the mm-hmm. guy Gold or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's raining, mm-hmm. if we remember, yep. From chapter 30, whatever chapter that was. So they're soaked. Matt is almost blind. So Rand is literally holding his hand mm-hmm. to leave him because Matt can't see. And Rand is like worried about that. Like, yo, if Matt doesn't regain his sight, we're never going to get away. Matt is getting all emotional. Like, Rand, please don't leave me. Rand is like, I promise I'm not going to leave you.
Right? Me, I myself.
Kiba would have left Matt.
I would have left him in the Two Rivers. What you mean? We wouldn't be in this problem because
right.
he wouldn't be around.
So Rand saw some bushes and they hid there to get some relief from the rain, and Rand falls asleep and he has a dream. Mm-hmm. So in a dream, he's back in Four Kings, but the town was empty and there's nothing alive but him. So he goes into the Dancing Cartman, the same inn, and he sees Gold sitting at a table, but Gold is like badly burnt. His teeth and gums is showing, like mm-hmm. he has no eyelids and he's just staring at Rand, right? Because he's basically a freaking skeleton, right? And so Rance, he only recognizes him from his clothes.
Yeah.
And so he says, oh, so you are dead. So suddenly Beelzebub's cousin,
twice removed,
was on his yeah. daddy's side, mm-hmm. is suddenly there and says, yes, but he did find you for me. That deserves some reward, don't you think? So suddenly Rand is scared because he's like, this Negro is in my dream again. Mm-hmm. And so Beelzebub's cousin says, you see, youngling, you cannot hide from me forever. One way or another, I find you. What protects you also makes you vulnerable. One time you hide, the next you light a signal fire. Come to me, youngling. Before I continue, what do you think he means by that? What protects you also makes you vulnerable?
He's talking about his ability to channel.
Okay, so when he says one time you hide, the next you light a signal fire, is the signal, what is the signal fire him
channeling?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he says, come to me, youngling. And he holds out his hand. Mm-hmm. If my hounds must pull you down, they may not be gentle. They're jealous of what you will be once you have knelt at my feet. It is your destiny. Mm. You belong to me.
Destiny.
And and Gold trying to talk, but he can't talk because he probably doesn't have a tongue.
He don't got no jaw. I don't got no nothing.
So Rand is just denying him, you know, like, yeah, and if your dog friends kill me, you can't never have me.
The power of Christ compels you. Right. That's what it was giving, okay?
Yes, yes. So Beelzebub's cousin is like, listen, it don't matter if you're alive or dead, I still can get to you. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's better if you come to me on your own will than to have to be forced. And Gold is still trying to talk, right? So he's like, yes, my good hound, here is your reward. And I'm just going to read again. Mm-hmm. So Rand's watching the whole thing and he says, and it says, for an instant, the burned face held a look of sublime joy that turned to horror in the final moment, as if he had seen something waiting he did not expect. Gold's empty velvet garments settled on the chair and the floor among the ash. So he burned him. I guess like he made him dead, right? Because yeah. He was already dead.
Took him out of his misery is what it sounds like.
Yeah. So Beelzebub's cousin is like, see, alive or dead, I could still, you know, I can still get you. And he says again, and we get this again. The eye of the world will never serve you. I mark you as mine. So we keep hearing that. Yeah. Right? The eye of the world won't serve you. So he shoots a ball of flame out. It struck Rand in the face, but Rand wakes up and he's touching his face and he's all good or whatever. So now he's awake. Now Matt is tossing and turning. Apparently Matt was also having a dream. And Matt wakes up and he's like, my eyes, he took my eyes. So they were having a dream at the same time. And it seems like Beelzebub's cousin was in both of them, but they were doing different things.
Yeah.
Different things were happening in a dream. So I thought that was interesting. So Rand is comforting Matt and everything and tells him it's going to be good. We're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. He can't hurt us. Blah, blah, blah. Morning comes. Rain stops. They continue this road trip that you love so much. They pass by a village. Rand is taking care not to be seen. They got a ride from a farmer named Albert Mull, who apparently liked to talk. And so Upper Mall is talking about how the cows is going dry, the chickens not laying no eggs. He actually got to buy hay instead of growing his own hay. And he was like, the queen should do something about it. And so once he got to his place, though, he was like, listen, I don't know y'all like that. You know what I'm saying? Y'all seem like good peoples, but I don't know y'all like that. So here's some scarves.
Yep.
Right. And so, before he gives him the scarves. When he first says, like, I don't know you like that.
Yeah.
Rand is leading Matt. He's holding his hand. He feels Matt trying to grab the dagger. And Rand just keeps a tight grip on his hand, like, chill, money. Like, you always want to slice somebody.
Listen. I don't know. I'm starting not to trust him.
Matt, right?
Well, not starting.
But. Yeah, right. Like, this is not a new phenomenon. It's been 3 weeks. Have you forgotten
how
much you hate Matt?
Okay. Yeah, it is. The gentle reminders are creeping back up.
Right. So the man, he keeps talking about how he would have offered him a place to stay so they can get dry and warm, because they're still soaking wet from the rain and everything. And he doesn't know what they're running from, but he don't want to know.
Right.
Right. And so then he pulls out the scarves and he says, these are my boys or whatever. You know, you can have them. And it's literally the same exact dialogue. I noticed that. Like, I went back to chapter 31 when we were first introduced to this field trip that we're going on. And it's like literally the same thing. In the beginning of chapter 31, the third paragraph, Rand is thinking about how they got the scarves. And he says, I don't know what you're running from.
Yeah.
And I don't want to. You understand? My family. It's not much, but here. Belong to my boys. They have others. You don't know me. Understand? It's hard times. And so he was just thinking about that back in chapter 31. And now we're actually in that right. scene. So, which is kind of weird. I think, you know, I don't know. So anyway, they continue on their trip. And Matt keeps asking, you know, when can we stop?
Right.
You know, because he's still leading Matt. Matt can't see. So they get to another village and Rand decides, all right, let's try it. So they go into the inn and Rand immediately notices that it's different. You know, people are happy. It's like everything is clean. The innkeeper's fat, you know, so he's like,
fat innkeepers.
I'll never trust a skinny innkeeper ever again. There's no drunkenness or anything like that. And the innkeeper's name even feels like home. His name is Rulon Allwine, and it just reminds him of
Alvear.
Yeah, yeah, all the mm-hmm. Emmons Fields names or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the innkeeper is like, listen, not that y'all would try to play me, but I need y'all to pay up front.
And I understood.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's like, shit is crazy. It's a lot of motherfuckers right. rolling through here trying to go to Camelin to see the false dragon. Mm-hmm. I don't trust these motherfuckers. They be trying to play us out. So mm-hmm. if you please. And so they did. They paid in advance and they ate and they slept very well that night, finally. Mm-hmm. So by morning, Matt is like, oh, I can see. And so at this point, they're only one day away from Four Kings. Mm-hmm. Rand is feeling all good and everything. So they go downstairs to go eat breakfast, you know, and Rand is all, you know, he's on a high. He's like, mm-hmm. I can't wait to see Moiraine. And he's mm-hmm. bugging like, damn, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Aes Sedai and mm-hmm. da, 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 da. So they sitting in there. They sitting in there getting breakfast and this young man comes in. So this young man, he comes in. He's just chilling. He like saunters in. He notices Rand and Matt and he's like, jumps like mm-hmm. he recognizes them.
Yeah,
he's like, oh shit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like as if somebody said, yo, there they go right there,
right? Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm.
So he is older than Rand, but he seems really really nervous. Mm-hmm. Right, so turns out his name is Pater and he's a dark friend, right? But he must
dark
be
like, youngling.
Yes, like right. He's like a Neo. Dark friend. Like he just crossed.
He didn't finish reading friend. The manual.
Yeah, he didn't finish because like he sucks as a dark friend. Like he's such a whack ass dark friend. Yo. It's so funny. So he's all scared or whatever. And he's basically asking he sit down with them and everything, and he's, you know, tells him his name. And he's like, listen, and he's stuttering. He like, this is not my idea. They made me do it. So immediately Matt is like, you fucking dark friend. Right. And so he jumps up, like looks around like
don't be saying that shit out loud. First like you doing easy. All of us a disservice.
Be easy, yo. Like chill. So Rand is basically like, listen, just leave us the fuck alone. Mm-hmm. And tell your friends to leave us alone. Mm. We don't want nothing from y'all.
Yeah.
And y'all ain't getting nothing from us. Mm. Just leave us alone, you know. And Matt is like, and if you don't, I'm going to tell everybody that you a fucking dark friend. So that gets him a little shook. You know what I'm saying? He mm-hmm. like, listen, I heard what happened back at Four Kings and da-da-da-da-da, you know, and everything. But I'm alone. I just need to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you ain't got nothing. We ain't got shit to say to you. Mm-hmm. Da-da-da-da-da. And so basically, Rand is like, yeah, it's time to go. Like, it's been time. Yeah, let's get up.
Too comfortable yet and again. Go.
And so the baby dark friend touches Rand on the shoulder. Like, Oof. Nah, dude, I just need to talk to you. And Rand promptly punches him in the fucking nose. Mm. So he punches him in the nose. Pater's on the floor or whatever. And so now... Now Pater is like,
the power of Christ compels you.
Yes. Yes. He started yelling. And
shaking all the tables, bro.
Yeah. He's like, you won't get away no matter how strong you are. The great Lord of the Dark is stronger. And everybody's loud. Right. So now everybody's like, like a collective
not
gasp.
Not Susan's boy.
Right.
Somebody call Larry. Right. Tell him get his baby off the floor.
Right. So Rand and Matt get low, right? And they continue the road trip. They periodically get rides along the way, mm-hmm. which gratefully we didn't get any detail about.
Ugh, did we not? Because I feel like
we got a little detail, but not like because mm-hmm. they said they got rides like six times or something like that, six more times or something. So they got six short rides, they said. And so then they hear these inflated rumors about what happened.
Yes.
Back in, you know, when the they met Pater.
No. Oh, no. But when they went. Oh, yeah. Just, yeah.
Yeah. With Pater.
Yeah.
So rumors flew. They said and they were in a town called Market Sharon mm-hmm. with Pater. So and I'll just reread. A farmer told them that a crazy old man at the inn in Market Sharon was claiming there were dark friends in the village. The farmer could hardly talk for laughing. He kept wiping tears off his cheeks. Because these people don't believe in dark friends and Trollocs and stuff. We're still not in a part of this world where that's a normal thing for them. Because he said, this is the best story I've heard since Ackley Farron got drunk and spent the night on the inn roof.
Nah, I feel like that was some prime entertainment.
For them, yeah. So that's like them, the biggest thing that had happened
They're going to talk about that for a little while
Forever. You know, somebody else said, 20 dark friends held a gathering. Men with twisted bodies and the women worse, all dirty and rags, you know, and just all types of lies. And you know, the queen needs to do something, and if the queen can't do something, then we need to ask the children of the light for help. Somebody needs to do something. So they were pretty happy when they got off of that wagon.
No, I bet.
so they get to another town, another village, and they go into this inn called the Queen's Man. So again, the inn feels like a decent inn or whatever. So they're talking to the innkeeper, and try to get the little spill. Now Matt can't really see too well, but he's like, I could still juggle, you know, I could still fake it till I make it, or whatever. But the inn was really crowded and loud, so they had to go in the kitchen and talk. So they went in the kitchen to talk or whatever, and then Ran gets sick. So he's basically what?
He's getting the channeling sickness,
right? So he has a queasy stomach. He's shivering, even though they're in a hot kitchen. And so now Matt is the caregiver,
right? Which, put me in the pot and boil me down.
You don't want Matt taking care of you?
No, ma'am. What? Do that even sound right to you?
So basically, you know, Rand is real sick. The innkeeper wanted to kick him out. But Matt was like, if y'all kick us out, I'm going to bring Rand into the common room.
And let him sneeze on everybody. Right. COVID-19 style.
Right, exactly. So innkeeper was like, all right, y'all can stay in the stables.
Because what you can't do is stay here.
Yeah, you know, we'll give you some food, whatever, and, you know, or whatever. So so Matt is basically taking care of Rand. He tries to find their version of a wisdom. Apparently this town doesn't have a wisdom, but they have somebody named Mother Broon. But Mother Broon is off birthing a baby right now.
She's busy.
Yeah, she's busy because life. Right? So Rand is getting like worse. He gets a fever, then he gets chills, and that goes back and forth. And Matt is continuing to nurse him. And Rand is seeing visions. He's having hallucinations. He thinks Baal Zamon is there. He thinks Myrdral are there. So Matt tries to take his sword because Rand is bugging. He's trying to pull out his sword because he thinks there's Myrdral there. And Matt is like, there's nobody here. It's just us. Here, let me take this for you. And Rand goes, he is my father. My father gave me this sword.
Oh my goodness, baby.
So Rand sees more hallucinations. He basically sees everybody that we met in the whole book so far, right? He sees Egwene, Moraine, Tom, Lan, Perrin, Mistress Alvear, Bale Doman.
Everybody's in his face.
Master Fitch from the Inn in Barlon, Min, and Tam. Tam was like the last, that was like the last straw. Like, now my daddy is here.
Yeah, my daddy. I'm bringing my daddy into this.
Bring my daddy into here or whatever. So yeah, when he sees Tam, you know, he's trying to ask Tam, who am I? You have to tell me. Who am I? So Matt is trying to calm him down or whatever, you know. Tells him, you know, his fever breaks and everything. And Rand finally goes to sleep. So now he is asleep, but he hears the door creaking open. And so that woke him up. Matt was asleep. And Rand sees a woman. This woman is dressed very finely. She's definitely not a village woman. She's wearing silk and everything. And
it ain't tricking if you got it.
Listen. So Rand is like, yo, Matt, wake up. Because I don't know what this is right now. Wake up. And so she's all trying to be like, oh, I just came to look at my horse. Are you sick? Oh, because I can help you with some shit like that. And basically, she reaches under her cloak. And everything happens so fast. You know, we're in Rand's perspective. She reaches under her cloak and something glittered. I'm going to read it. Something glittered as she lunged across Rand toward Matt. Matt toppled sideways in a flurry of motion and there was a solid chunk of metal driven into wood. It all just took an instant and then everything was still. So basically she flung a a knife
some kind of dagger or something
at Matt. And so his other hand, so he's gripping her wrist because she's trying to grab the dagger that she just threw at him. And she's he's holding her wrist. And then his other hand, he has his dagger pointed at her throat. And she is shook.
How you join the set and then be scared to die? Do you think she knows what this dagger is? Who, this little dark friend?
This woman. She is shook. She is shook. She does not want. She is shook. Like, if you read, like, I'm going to read. Moving nothing but her eyes, she tried to look down at the dagger Matt held. Eyes widening, she drew a ragged breath and tried to pull back from it, but he kept the edge against her skin. After that, she was as still as a stone. So she's terrified.
I don't know how you gang fight gang and then you be scared to die. Like, what is this? It does not make any sense to me. But he also didn't kill her. I probably would have, I don't know if I have to, like, my life against yours, she'd probably be in somebody's haystack. I think,
yeah, she'd be dead.
She'd be in somebody's haystack for sure.
Part of me, you know.
But my man locked her in a little broom closet or whatever. I was like, oh, so now we got to see her again.
So yeah, we're going to see her.
We're going to see her again.
Okay. So they noticed. So Rand notices that her dagger that's in the wood started blackening. So apparently this dagger had some sort of
magic
poison or something on it or whatever. So Rand is like, yo, look at her dagger. And basically they take the dagger and I think they put it in some water or something. And it, like, it sizzled or something like that. But the woman is she's still shook. Because Matt still has his dagger or whatever. And so Matt is like about to kill her. And Rand is like, nah, she's a dark friend. We're not dark friends. That's not who we are. You would have been a dark friend that day.
I definitely would have been tested. Her body would have definitely been in some hay.
So they basically locked her up. So she's basically talking this, like, the same shit that all the other dark friends were saying. You know, she said, a mistake. There's been considerable confusion since what happened with that egotistical fool Goad. Not to mention whoever the idiot was who started the panic in Market Sharon, meaning baby dark friend.
Neo dark friend.
Yeah. No one is sure what happened there or how. That makes it more dangerous for you. Don't you see? You will have honored places if you come to the great lord of your own free will. But as long as you run, there will be pursuit. And who can tell what will happen then? And so Rand is thinking about what Beelzebub's cousin said to him. He said, my hounds are jealous and may not be gentle. He said that to him in a dream. And so Matt is all taunting her, like, so y'all having a problem with a couple of farm boys? Like, maybe y'all are not as dangerous as we thought. Like,
well,
y'all
okay, really girl.
Whatever.
You and your little magical dagger.
Yeah. So then she mentions, you know, all right, you'll see. You think we not dangerous? Yeah, you'll see how dangerous you are when the merger all gets here. So that's the end of that. So they basically locked her in there. Somehow they pulled, like, a bar down to lock her, and Matt is like, yo, can you walk? Like, what's good? And Rand is like, I can't dance, but, like, we can get out. So so they leave, and then they find someone named Chaim Kinch, who we already met Chaim Kinch. This is the flashback, so
right, because
yeah. so they get in Chaim Kinch's cart, and that's how we end chapter 33. What you got for us?
It's actually what you got for us. Because we were having a little off-mic convo.
We did. So normally, y'all know that Kiba comes up with the themes and everything. And so I actually came up with a theme this time.
Ligashar.
I'm not usually the one that does that. So I was just thinking about friendship.
Friends. Dun, 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 dun. How many of us have them friends? Ones we can depend on friends.
How many of us have them friends? Before we go any further, let's be friends. Okay, we're not going to sing the whole song. Shout out to Houdini.
Yes.
Yeah, so, and shout out to Jalil from Houdini. He's very active on social media.
Okay.
Yeah, and responsive, you know, like it's kind of dope when like your favorite rappers actually talk to you on social media.
Sometimes.
Anyway.
I was about to say, we was just saying.
Yeah, we was talking about somebody else. Yeah. But we're not going to get into that. So basically I was just thinking about friendship, and I was thinking about how, so Matt and Rand are pretty much like best friends. Mm-hmm. But Matt has been behaving kind of crazily.
Very unbest friendish.
Yeah. But Rand is still loyal to his friend. And it reminded me of a conversation I was having with someone. We were talking about Kanye. And we were...
No, I'm kidding.
So it's like, you know, Kanye's been bugging out lately, right?
Lately.
But like, if Kanye is your friend and he starts bugging out, do you still stick with Kanye?
I'm with Jay-Z on this one.
You're not fucking with...
No, because at a certain point, I have to protect myself. I have to protect my family. Mm-hmm. And when you start doing things that jeopardizes that, I have to take a step back. That doesn't mean that we beefing.
Right.
That doesn't mean that I wish harm on you.
We on different paths.
We just on different paths. Mm-hmm. And if they should cross again, then that would be jovial. And if they don't cross again, then that would also be fine.
So with our Emmons Fielders, I mean, we know how you feel about Matt, right? Mm-hmm. But if you can put that aside, your personal feelings for Matt.
Okay.
Here we go. And in Rand's time of need, when Rand got sick, Matt was the one, you know, first Rand was taking care of Matt because he couldn't see.
Yeah.
Right. And so then it flipped, right? Yeah. When Rand got sick and Matt was basically nursing him and taking care of him and everything. You know, the dynamic kind of flipped. You know, at first, Rand is kind of apologizing, like, I'm sorry for my friend. Yeah. He's kind of bugging out, but he's still stuck by him loyally. How do you feel about Rand continuing to be loyal to Matt?
I feel like a lot of that, I think it's a bit twofold. They've known each other since clearly they were in cloths.
They were babies.
Diapers, whatever they were using back in the day, right? So, like, there's a certain level of just blind loyalty that I think that Rand and Matt have towards each other, right? It's that kind of loyalty that doesn't really allow them to see that maybe we would grow at a more exponential rate if we, you know, weren't friends right now, or if we decided to separate. So I think there's a little bit of that. And I think it's also they're both in a very brand new predicament that neither one of them have any kind of knowledge or experience in taking these traversing these kind of roads and doing this kind of travel. So they kind of need each other and would be and are clearly stronger together than they would be separated, right? Like if Rand and Matt were to like get into a wild fist fight right now and they were just like, you find your own way to Camelin, they'd both die, I'm convinced, in like 37 seconds or less.
Got you. So they gotta stick
together. So they kind of have to, like, it's the circumstances that are kind of forcing them to stick together,
right?
And at the same time, it's kind of forging that blind loyalty, like, you know, we grew up together, we're the same age, our pappy's his friend, right? This is like my brother, you know. So like, yeah, no, like we kind of gotta stick with him, right?
So tell me what you think. So we are in book one of 15. We know that they get to Camelin at the end of the, you know, the next chapter that we're gonna recap. They make it to Camelin. And what do you think happens? Do you have a prediction about what could eventually happen with Rand and Matt's friendship? Do they stick together throughout this entire series? Do they stay that loyal to each other as they are right now? Or do we get in like book seven and shit is wild different?
No, shit's gonna be wild different. I still think Perrin's gonna fold like origami. I feel like I said that. Perrin's going back home for sure. I'm not super convinced that Perrin makes it all the way to Tar Valon. I feel like even if he does, at a certain point, he's gonna be like, So
this was fun.
So I'm literally gonna get on the first wagon smoking back. Yeah. I can't do this with y'all.
Yeah.
Right? Now, Rand and Matt, I feel like because Rand is the, oh God, what is it? I keep saying
the dragon reborn.
You know, I was gonna be like the savior reunited or something. Whatever. whatever. Because he's the main character, right? Right, because right. he is the chosen one, the dragon reborn. Uh-huh. I think that he's going to be, and I think I might have said this before, but I think he's going to be forced with a decision that's either going to pull him closer to his people or further mm-hmm. away.
Okay.
Right? Whether he like embraces the darkness or he like embraces the light, and mm-hmm. depending on how he moves is going to test that friendship that he has with Matt.
Right.
But I feel like it's Rand that's definitely... Because I feel like Matt is like a puppy, mm-hmm. right? Like, you could kick a puppy and it's going to come back to its owner, gotcha. Right? I think Matt is the more loyal of the two. I think Rand is, again, loyal to the fault of, you know, I've known him since I was a kid. It's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. right? But when you're in a spot where you don't have a strong grasp on what the right thing is, it's easy to kind of misstep right. in your allegiances to people.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, Rand's going to be the one to kind of like push Matt away, and Matt is either going to be like, you know what, I'm not doing this no more, I'm out, or right. you know, he's going to stick around for as long as he can before he, you know, just can't take it anymore.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All yeah. right.
Mm-hmm. So I'll add that to the sheet.
Yeah. Predictions. Just because it's been so long since we've given you an episode, I'm going to do my very best one. You know, let me knock on some wood. I'm so dry. I'm sorry. As soon as I wanted to do a good one. Okay, here we go. Kiba's asinine predictions.
Oh, I like that one. That was y'all a good one. I thought that was a good one. Fingers that she
Yo,
did at
I
the
did.
End.
I did. Yes, it was spirit fingers.
Oh my God.
Ha cha cha.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I don't think it was on key. It didn't sound on key. Anyway, I'm not here for singing. I'm here for talking.
I think that was a good one. I think we could
I use feel that like snippet. We could use that one, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Y'all got it. Y'all All got right, it.
Cool.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay. So
moving right along.
We are going to continue with... All right. So chapter 34 mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is called The Last Village.
Ooh.
So we finally...
Wow. It only took about 18 chapters.
The Last Village before we get to Keeneland.
Yeah.
Now, the chapter symbol is this ill-looking skull. It's given Trollocky vibes.
Oh, yeah. Let me just mention real quick, right? Because I definitely was like seeing this and being like, oh, yeah, no doubt. This Trolloc wartime. Bitch, yeah. Ain't no Trolloc. I was so mad. I right. was like, come on now.
Right.
This is supposed to mean war.
Right. So they get to, they make it to the next town, which was Carysfort. Mm-hmm. And they give us a little time, you know, we get a little... Because we're confused because mm-hmm. we kept having flashbacks and shit. Mm. So it says it's only 3 nights since Howl Gold and 4 Kings. 2 nights since the baby Dark Friend surprised them in Market Sharon. And just a bare day since the nameless Dark Friend woman tried to kill them in the stable of the Queen's Man.
Who seemed like the realest one of them all. Let's just be honest. She was
seemed
all
like
talk.
A pretty good Dark Friend.
She was
friend.
All action, no talk.
Yeah, she was a pretty good
she
Dark
She rolled
friend.
Up in there and was like, ah, my handy dandy dagger.
Yeah, like, let me pull it out.
Right.
And throw it at you.
Right. It wasn't no, ha, submit to the darkness. No, yeah. Mama was like, you can submit after you die. Right. I got my walking orders.
Right. They're walking through Carysfort. Matt is complaining.
Of course.
About having to sleep in haystacks, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, shit has been a little dangerous, you know, with them every time. Every time they stayed somewhere,
mm-hmm.
Some bullshit mm-hmm. happened or whatever. And, you know, so they're talking about, you know, are we ever going to make it? So they sleep by this haystack. Rand is thinking like heroes in stories never have to sleep in haystacks or whatever, mm. you know, so I guess they're not heroes, right?
I was going to say that should have let him know right there what was up.
Right.
Heroes know how to fight. Do
right.
you?
Right. So they wake up after, you know, having a very uncomfortable sleep. But they realize there's a lot more people on the road. And they're like, so Matt is like, yeah, where y'all going? And they like, same place you going.
Duh. Yeah.
To Camelin to see the false dragon.
Oh, duh.
That's where right. we're all going.
Obviously. Clearly.
So now the road is crowded. You know, people are a little rude. You know, merchants' wagons is like disgusted with these all of these travelers. Mm-hmm. Guards are calling them all dark friends. You know, I guess they're considered dark friends because they want to see a false dragon. They see more Queen's guards and all types of stuff. And when Queen's guards come, some of the farmers stop to complain. Like, can y'all do something about all this riffraff? And Queen's guards like, they not breaking
on
no
a public
laws.
Road.
Yeah, they
excuse
on a public
me,
road. They
Karens.
Not breaking no laws. You're right. Whole bunch of Karens stop the right. Queen's guards or whatever and everything. And they like, listen, this ain't shit. Y'all should mm-hmm. see Camelin. It's a mm-hmm. whole bunch of motherfuckers in Camelin. So mm-hmm. stop complaining mm-hmm. or whatever. And so basically, it's still more road trip shit. Like, it's really not a lot of action.
No.
And everything.
Deceived by this chapter yes. icon. Yeah.
And so definitely we don't get any Trollocs in this chapter. Mm-mm. So, but what happens is they get to another village and Matt is like, listen, I ain't walking. Nope. Like, we need mm-hmm. to fucking stop. Like, this shit is ridiculous. I'm tired and blah, 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 blah. So they see two men standing next to an inn mm-hmm. having a conversation, mm-hmm. right? And something about them, you know, Rand just couldn't, he couldn't put his finger on it, but something, he didn't feel right, mm-hmm. right? With these two men.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to read a little bit. Mm-hmm. One of the men in the shadows was only a black shape. Mm. Hmm. But the other stood more into the light with his back to Rand. Mm-hmm. Even so, it was plain he was not overjoyed at the conversation he was having. He wrung his hands and kept his eyes on the ground, jerking his head in a nod now and then at something the other had said. Mm-hmm. Right? So eventually, the one who was in the dark mm-hmm. turned away. Mm. And the nervous fellow stared back into the light. Mm. So apparently he was an innkeeper because he said he started mopping his face with the long apron he wore as if he was drenched in sweat, even though it was cold outside. And so basically Rand realizes that the wind, because the wind blew and the person who was standing there, their cloak never moved. Mm. And so
it's fade time.
Rand realizes this is a fucking fade. Mm-hmm. So the nervous dude starts going back to the inn door. Mm-hmm. And then there was another guy standing by his cart. Mm-hmm. So this other guy was like, yo, this is some strange friends you got. Like, who the fuck is that you talking to? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. And so innkeeper's like, what you mean, almond bunt? Mind yours. I can talk to whoever the fuck I want to.
Right.
Leave me alone. Anyway, he's from Four Kings. He's looking for a couple of thieves.
Because first of all, you're not being a great dark friend right now. Because yeah, you're just
telling everything, right? He's like, they stole a Heron Mark sword. And so he's looking for these two thieves or whatever. So Rand is like, oh, fuck, that's definitely us, right? Mm-hmm. That they talking about. Mm-hmm. But Almond Bunt is like, a Heron Mark sword. He don't believe it, mm-hmm. right? He was like, all these lies and fairy tales you've been telling. Yeah, I bet they're dark friends too, right? Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. You're right. So anyway, the innkeeper is like, yeah, there's a ward, 100 crowns in gold for the two of them. You know, they lie and all this kind of stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so let me know if you see him. So Almond Bunt is like, yeah, whatever. Right? Yeah. So in any event, you know, he's like, I gotta get to Camelin. You know, let me go now mm-hmm. while it's, you know, while ain't nobody on the road. You know, I'll go overnight or whatever. So he starts walking away. The innkeeper goes back into the inn or whatever. Mm-hmm. So Rand is like, fuck it. Like, there's a fucking fade here. We need to get the fuck up out of here. So basically he was like, yo, apparently you're going to Camelin. Mm. We're going to Camelin too.
Mm-hmm. Look at that.
Look at that. Can we go with you? So they basically get a ride from Almond Bunt. He's like, of course, get on, you know, hop in, you know, let's mm-hmm. go. So they leave, you know, and they basically escape this fate. So they leave at night and Almond Bunt likes to talk.
Yeah. Talk them right to sleep.
Talk them right to sleep. So we get to learn a little bit more about Camelin. And I just wanted to note this, you know. Mm-hmm. So to see what we might possibly be getting into, mm-hmm. you know, because they do make it to Camelin. So he says, you know, Camelin is the greatest city in the world. I'm just going to read.
Yeah.
Well, wait till you see it. The greatest city in the world. Oh, I've heard all about Ilion and Ebu Dar and Tear and all. There's always some fool thinks the thing is bigger and better just because it's off somewhere over the horizon. But for my money, Camelin is the grandest there is. Couldn't be grander. No, it couldn't. Unless maybe Queen Morgaze, the light illumine her, got rid of that witch from Tar Valon.
Mm.
So apparently there's an Aes Sedai
mm-hmm.
that's hanging around the queen.
Would you look at that?
So what do you think about that before I go on?
I feel like that was mentioned in maybe one of Tom's stories. It doesn't strike me as
odd.
I feel like it was brought up at some point in these first 30 three chapters.
Okay.
Where they had mentioned that rulers were using Aes Sedai as
advisors
yes. and yes. people were like, oh, you fucking nuts. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It struck me with some familiarity. Like, oh, okay. So look at that. So in here is what's happening. Right. Mm-hmm. So now I'm thinking that considering that we're going to see Camelin,
mm-hmm.
we may even see, you know, what kind of influence the Aes Sedai has over a queen and what that city might look like with an Aes Sedai as an advisor to the queen. So I was like, okay.
Do you think we'll meet this Aes Sedai? So far we've only met one Aes Sedai. And there are thousands of them. So
this one in particular,
mm-hmm.
I think yes.
And her name is Elida. They say her name. Because
we do see her name. So mm-hmm. I think yes, we will meet her. I think not soon, right? Not anytime soon. It's gotta be a build up to this because I think let me fill this out. It's too soon. We'll meet her. It's too soon. I'm wondering if like Aes Sedai can have beef with other Aes Sedai, which I feel like is a yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, no, that doesn't make sense. So I would peg her as some kind of a friend to Moiraine Elan.
Okay, so Moiraine Elan, do they get to Camelin?
They get to Camelin.
And do they go hit up Elida Sedai?
Not in this book.
Okay.
Not in this.
Because you said we're not going to see Elida until maybe, later on.
Yeah. But I have a strong feeling that this is not going to be our only rendezvous into Camelin.
Okay.
So I feel like at some point they'll be back in Camelin. Something is going on. I mean, the false dragon is there. Can mm-hmm. they really contain him mm-hmm. in Camelin? Is shit about to pop off in Camelin
mm-hmm.
where, you know, the Children of the Light might get diverted and they can't even go to Camelin because shit's popping off. Or, right. you know, Rand and Matt have to like run through Camelin because shit's popping off, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, I don't think we're going to meet her anytime soon, but her name is mentioned. And so we're going to meet her at some point for sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now we also get some more information
mm-hmm.
about the royal information dump ride. Yeah, I think that was the point of this ride.
Yeah.
Is to give the reader some history.
That's right? What it felt like.
So they talk about Lady Elaine and Lord Gawain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so I'm just going to read it and then we can talk about it. We also talk about someone. He also mentioned someone named Luke, who was the first prince of the sword, and someone named Tigraine, who vanished when it was time for her to take the throne. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it says, you take Lady Elaine and Lord Gawain. There's a change, wouldn't harm anything, and might do some good.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I know we've always done it that way in Andor. Send the daughter heir off to Tar Valon to study with the Aes Sedai. And the eldest son off to study with the warders. I believe in tradition. I do. But look what it got us last time. So before mm-hmm. I continue. So he's talking about Lady Elaine and Lord Gawain.
Mm-hmm.
So basically he's saying Lady Elaine is the daughter heir. So mm-hmm. the daughter heir is the person who's going to take the throne.
Yep.
Once mm-hmm. the queen dies.
Yeah.
Right. So these must be the queen's children.
Yeah.
So Lord Gawain is the eldest son.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they're both going to be sent off or have been sent off.
Right. He was supposed to be the prince consort. Or...
He's a prince consort. Right. Yeah, yeah. So he's a prince. So he's studying with the warders, I guess, to be like a fighter or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Lady Elaine is studying with the Aes Sedai for some reason that we don't know. But apparently Master Bunt, he don't like it. Mm-hmm. Right. He don't like it. And so he says, look at what it got us last time. So now he talks about Luke dead in the blight before he was ever anointed first prince of the sword. And Tigraine vanished, run off or dead, when it came time for her to take the throne. Still troubling us that. So Tigraine was the daughter heir. Mm-hmm. So apparently Tigraine was supposed to take the throne.
She seems like she would be the eldest.
And so before she took the throne, she vanished. Mm-hmm. And no one knows what happened to her, apparently.
They don't got first 48?
Apparently, they don't have first 48. They find them. Because they would find out. First 48 would find out what was happening.
They'd be all in and out the blight.
Right. So then there's... So now he's talking... So apparently, something happens because of that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have your daughter heir... Mm-hmm. When it's time for her to take the throne, who's going to take the throne now?
Your other daughter.
You know, well, apparently there wasn't another daughter.
No, it's time to make another daughter.
Because Morgaze became queen somehow. Mm-hmm. So he's talking about that. He says, there's some saying that she's still alive, you know, that Morgaze isn't the rightful queen. Mm. Bloody fools, I remember what happened. Remember it like it was yesterday. No daughter heir to take the throne when the old queen died. Mm-hmm. And every house in Andor scheming and fighting for the right. Mm-hmm. So basically, Tigraine vanishes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's nobody else to take the throne. Mm-hmm. So everybody's fighting for the right. And somehow Morgaze ends up being queen.
Yeah.
So we don't know how that happened. But it wasn't because she was the daughter heir. Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So... Then he mentioned somebody named Tarangale, Damodred, who Morgaze chose. So apparently Morgaze marries this guy, Tarangale. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have thought he'd lost his wife, him hot to figure which house would win so he could marry again and become prince consort after all. Well, he managed it. The why Morgaze chose, no man knows the mind of a woman. And a queen is twice a woman, wed to a man and wed to the land. He got what he wanted anyway, if not the way he wanted it. So Morgaze marries this man, last name Damodred, right? Tarangale Damodred. And I guess they become queen and he becomes her consort. Right. And so then he starts talking about Carrion. Mm-hmm. Right. So apparently this Damodred dude is from Carrion. Mm-hmm. So remember when Tam had his fever dream and he talked about the Aiel War.
Yeah, and the tree.
So I'm going to continue reading. Brought Carrion into the plotting before he was done. And you know how that ended. The tree chopped down, the black veiled Aiel coming over the dragon wall. Well, he got himself decently killed after he fathered Elaine and Gawain. So there's an end to it, I suppose. But why send them to Tar Valon? So basically, Tigraine is missing, right? There's a war. Mm-hmm. Somehow, Morgaze ends up winning and becoming queen.
Yeah.
She marries Tarangale. Mm-hmm. They have Elaine and Gawain, right? They have those two babies. So now Elaine and Gawain is, you know, they've grown up. Mm-hmm. They're getting sent off to Tar Valon, as is tradition or whatever. Almond Bunt is saying they can go to Ilion. Ilion got libraries. You know, why they gotta go to Tar Valon? You know, they can teach Elaine how to scheme and rule better than the witches.
Scheme and rule.
That's what he says.
Scheme and rule.
Yeah, they'll teach the Lady Elaine as much about ruling and scheming as ever the witches could. Nobody knows more about scheming than an Ilioner. You know, and if the guards can't teach Lord Gawain enough about soldiering, well, they have soldiers in Ilion too, and in Shinar, and Tyr for that matter. I'm a good queen's man. I say, let's stop all this truck with Tar Valon. 3,000 years is long enough. Too long. Queen Morgaze can lead us and put things right without help from the White Tower. I tell you, there's a woman makes a man proud to kneel for her blessing. And then he keeps talking. And so, Rand falls asleep.
Rand had enough. Yeah. And so did I.
Yeah. But it gives us some information.
It does.
We're getting a little more information about this world.
But I feel like it's a little too early for that information because I don't know what to do with all that shit.
Okay.
Okay.
So do you think that that information that we got, when do you think that it means something? Will it mean something another book?
Or? I'm hoping that it means something when we get to Camelin. But also, I don't know. I feel like that's also, I feel like it's going to come into handy in another book. And you're going to be like, oh, yeah, we learned that in the middle. Yeah, and I'm going to be
and you're going to be annoyed or whatever.
I'm going to be annoyed. I'm going to be. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You are correct.
All right. So, you know, yeah, Rand has a bunch of dreams or whatever. But they basically make it to Camelin. And that's how the chapter ends. Bam, 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 bam. And Almond Butt says, the grandest city in the world.
The one. I feel like he was talking about New York City.
Yeah.
Shade, no shade.
Yeah.
Because everybody does that, right? They come out of whatever cab or they come across whatever and just, bridge. And
look up. And
you know, like, you got the skyscrapers. Yeah. Whoa,
and if it's nighttime, they're looking at all the lights.
The billboards.
Yeah.
It's a city that hypnotizes. City in the world. Shout out to our city.
All right. So, do you have anything?
I do. So, I caught a little little theme or two in here.
Okay.
So the one that stuck out to me, I think, the most was this idea of time.
Okay.
Right? And I'll just read the little passage that triggered this for me. It says, it's literally the first paragraph of 34.
Mm-hmm.
It says, he wondered if his whole sense of time was getting skewed. Only 3 nights since Howl Gold and 4 Kings, 2 since Pyter has surprised them in Market Sharon, just a bare day since the nameless dark friend woman tried to kill them in the stable of the Queen's Man. But even that seemed a year ago or a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, damn, that was messing with me because I had a friend on Facebook, very good friend of mine, who reposted one of her old posts about us graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the picture and I'm like, oh, look at us in our little burgundy cap and gowns, the baby faces, man. And then she's like, can y'all believe it's 20 years? And I'm like, excuse me?
Right.
20 who what?
Right.
And I sat there and I counted all my fingers. I did the math, honey.
You had to confirm.
And the math was mathing. I said, oh my gosh. Not it's been 20 years since I graduated from high school.
Right.
Now don't listen to friend listeners. You don't do the math.
Don't be trying to figure
myself out. Don't be trying to figure. I graduated from high school early. I'm not going to tell you how early, but early enough.
Right.
All
right.
So don't you be trying to count on your fingers. My business.
Right.
But.
And it was really 4 years ago.
And it was really. This is my point. Right. Because I'm really like, oh, it's only been like 10. I'm still out in these streets.
Right.
You know what's up? Meanwhile, we're all married. She's got 3 kids. Our other friend has 2 kids.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yo, we're whole adults. And it's been 20 years. So, crazy. You know.
Oh, you're about to ask me. Okay, go ahead.
You know. What are some of the events that you've experienced that felt like it was yesterday, but it was actually like decades ago and vice versa, right? Stuff that happened, you know, just yesterday, and you know what I'm trying to say, like the vice versa to that, like, oh.
So it's so funny. I've been in situations where I've been reminded of my age. Someone recently asked me and she knows what I'm about to say. That's why she's laughing so loudly. Because I just told her this the other day. I just told her this like yesterday. I'm like, yo. I'm not going to say.
Oh, shoot.
I mean, if you've been listening to us, you kind of got an idea of how old I am. I'm not going to say how old this person is who asked me this question. But they are younger than me. And they asked me. Can't believe I'm about to share this with y'all. Did I have did my age range, right?
Did y'all?
So did y'all have laptops growing up? And when I tell you, I have never felt so old. Oh,
my gosh. You know what makes you feel old about that? It's the fact that you had to say no.
Like, literally, no. We did not. They did not exist.
No.
No. Did not. Not in my childhood.
No.
Laptops did not exist.
Well, in my childhood, we had, no, it was just like the big, fat computers.
Desktops.
The desktops. And you had to go to the library. You had to be real exclusive.
So, in my childhood, in the 80s. Fuck it. In the 80s, I'll just say it, right? Mm-hmm. When I was a kid in the 80s, you know, fuck it. I was born in the 70s and I grew up in the 80s. So what?
Without a laptop, right.
So I knew one person with a computer. It wasn't connected to any type of internet because no one.
So I was just playing Minecraft. Not Minecraft. What was that? Minesweeper.
Whatever she was doing with it. I don't even know what she did on that thing. Mm. But I was fascinated. But if you had a computer in your house, you had money.
In the 80s, yeah.
In the 80s. Nobody had a computer. Mm-hmm. You know? And me and this person continue to talk about things, you know, the differences between what children do now, what this person did as a child, and what people in my generation did as children, you know, and I talked about how, we played video. They asked me about video games. Yeah, we had video games.
Oh my gosh.
But they weren't connected to the internet.
And
so what you did was you went to people's houses and you watched people play video games.
No, you could still play with them. You had two controllers. Well, only
two players. But if like six people is over there, you waited your turn. You know, if you got a turn. You know, because guess what we did most of the time?
You was outside.
We were outside.
Yeah, we were outside.
Yeah. So I was just reminded the other day of my age. And but there are many things that seem like it was just yesterday. I think about my children. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. My eldest child is a whole ass adult.
Yeah.
And I have such vivid memories of her being like 2 and 3 years old. Mm-hmm. I just told someone a story of her when she was about 14 months and she tried to manipulate me into letting her sleep in the bed with me because she didn't want to sleep in her brand new toddler bed that I just bought her. Mm-hmm. So she basically, she couldn't speak full sentences, but she lied to me to tell me that she needed her diaper changed. Because I would change her diaper in my bed. Yeah. And so that was her way of...
Always a genius. Yeah. Like, shout out to her.
Yeah, no, she's definitely still... She's still a genius. I was so impressed with her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's so many things that, you know, my high school...
Okay, so let's talk about it.
My high school reunion, we're actually at a milestone this year, and it's way more than 20.
It's the triple decker, if you will.
And I have vivid memories of high school. Like, it literally seems like there's so many things that seem like it just happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I can't believe that it actually happened that long ago. And I don't feel the age that I am. And I remember when I was younger, when I was in my 20s, I thought that people in their 40s were super old. Mm-hmm. And so now for people to call me old, you know, I just showed you a conversation I had on Facebook. I used some slang and the person had no idea what the hell I was talking about.
Well, also, okay, the asterisk is the person was also not from New York.
Yeah, right? But they still made me feel old.
So I feel, okay, well, fair. Fair.
They still made me feel. I was like, let me just use standard American
English. If you had used some Midwestern slang, they may have gotten it, right?
Yeah, but I still said some shit that nobody says anymore.
That's not true.
Who says that besides me?
I say that.
Do you?
Not often, but I can. Especially when, on the TLC tip. Like, you can.
Okay, And I was in high school when that song came out.
Oh, I was not.
Yeah, because you're younger than me. Yes, we know this. We know this. But yeah, it is interesting how things seem. Like, for example, por ejemplo, we haven't recorded in 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's that was only 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I feel like I haven't been over here.
Yeah, it's been in such a long time.
Like yeah. a million gazillion. Like yeah. I'm like, what is this? Wheel of Time? What is that?
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. who? Randall Thor? Who's that?
Yeah.
Like it's been such a long time, but it's only been three weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what's something that happened a really long time ago that feels like just yesterday to me?
Mm-hmm.
9/11.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
I don't know why, but I don't ever think I'll ever get to a point when I'm like, man, 9/11, what was that? Just 22 years ago. About to be 20, am I doing my math right? No, it's about to be 22 years, right? 2001?
2001.
So it's about to be 22 years.
Crazy.
And you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, wow, my brain.
So where were you on 9/11?
I very vividly remember that I was in school, in class, and I was in the...
I was a whole ass adult.
You was
sorry.
You was working.
I was, working. I was at work.
And I was in high school. I was like a... Because again, I graduated early. So I was like somewhere between like a sophomore, junior-ish,
mm-hmm.
In grade-wise. But I was in, and I think this was the science department, and they had the TV on
because
mm-hmm. they were looking at it. And this was right after... The first tower was hit and they're watching the plane go into the second tower. And I'm just like, man, what movie is this? That right. shit look crazy.
Right.
And they're just in the look on people's faces. And then you realize, oh no, this is CNN. That's an actual lower third. Live. Like yeah. this is live. Like this yeah. is happening. And then, you know, I went to school in the Bronx. You know, the Bronx sits on a hill, so mm-hmm. we can see.
Mm-hmm.
And if you went to the top floor in mm-hmm. our school, you could see mm-hmm. the smoke and everything from mm-hmm. downtown because it was starting to billow up.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, man, this is wild. And then you hear on the announcement, the principal is like, listen, he starts calling people into the office because apparently we had people whose parents
worked
in that area. Mm. So he started going through and calling people to the office. He was like, if I don't call your name, go home. Right. Just go home.
Right.
And I remember being like, man, so my mom was supposed to go down there for an appointment and the appointment was canceled because she was supposed to take...
Do you know how many stories were like that?
She was supposed to take someone down there for her job.
There was so many stories of canceled appointments,
yes.
people calling in sick for work.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
All types of things.
Yeah. And the reverse too, where mm-hmm. it was like, oh, I was supposed to be somewhere else and they sent me to Windows on the World or they sent me to, you know, Tower 2, you know, like I had to go over there. And it was just, and it's like, man, like I wonder what intricate universal fate like saved some people, like my mom, right?
And didn't save others.
And didn't save anyone else. And I think that kind of trippiness of it makes me feel like 9/11 was literally 2 weeks ago. Like you can't, I can sometimes still smell it in the air. I'm like, you know, this just happened. And it's literally been over 2 decades.
Crazy.
Bananas. Over 2 decades.
Bananas. Side note, you mentioned Windows of the World. I actually ate at that restaurant.
Listen, my robotics team took many trips. We took the last trip that we took down to the World Trade Center, when we, you know, doing the tour and doing the 90-something floor, was a couple of months before September 11th.
So I know you know my 9/11 story, but I'll share it with our listener friend listeners. So I was working. I was downtown Brooklyn and literally directly across the river from the World Trade Center. Like literally the Twin Towers are in my face.
Yeah.
Right. Because they're just right across the river. Mm-hmm. Manhattan is right across the river from where I was.
Yeah.
Those familiar, I was in Brooklyn Heights, basically. Like near the area of like the promenade, the Brooklyn promenade. And so I'm outside of my work van getting ready to service a customer, and there are papers falling on top of me.
Wild.
And so I look straight up in the sky. I don't look across the river because I don't think that it's coming from across the river. I look straight up and like, who the fuck is emptying their file cabinet
on top of my head,
right? Like, what the fuck is going on? So I can't tell where these papers are coming from. And I was like, you know, let me just mind a business that pays me.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Literally. Right. And so I start gathering my tools to get ready. And I get a phone call from my roommate. So she's frantic. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Queen. Oh, my God. A plane just crashed into the World Trade Center. And I'm like, what the fuck is you talking about? I'm standing right here. There ain't no. Oh, shit. So I look. And it had just happened. The first plane had just hit. So I'm looking at this shit with my own eyes. And I'm seeing the smoke come from this building. And I'm trying to guess, like, yo, that got to be at least, like, because I know how tall the building is. I know how many floors are on it. Like, that got to be, like, 30 floors that's just gone right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, a lot of people just died.
Yep.
Just a few seconds. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck you don't see a building? Yeah. I'm not thinking it's terrorism.
Right. No one I'm was. Like, how the fuck, what did you,
like,
how, thing.
Like, it got to be two pilots on that motherfucker. Y'all both passed out? Like, that what low? The fuck happened?
That low?
Why y'all flying that low? Yeah. Like, what the fuck is going on? Mm-hmm. And so, slowly, people are coming out, because people are leaving for work and everything. Mm-hmm. People are coming outside. Somebody picked up one of the papers. So, the papers...
Yeah.
We're coming from the World Trade Center. The wind
was picking it up.
Had
because the windows and all of that is busted out. So
the wind is flying towards Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the wind is flying all of the papers and stuff from the fucking building. Mm-hmm. And it's all falling on top of us. And so one person picked up one of the papers. It was a letterhead from her fucking office. She was on her way to work.
No, what are the freaking
eyes? She was on her way to work and she's like, this is from my office.
What?
So now the phone stopped working. Everything stopped working. Oh. I couldn't. So I had my work van and I tried to get a rate. Only like some random, not random, but only like one AM station was where all the FM stations stopped working.
Yep.
So I probably had it on like CBS radio or some shit. Like, I don't even think 1010 Winds was working.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And so I had the radio and I turned it up loud. And so people started to gather around my work van, just listening to news and everything. And we're just listening and we're just staring at this shit. Like, what the fuck is happening? And here comes the other fucking plane.
Oh, my.
So with my own eyes, I watched the second plane hit the second tower.
Wild. And
as a matter of fact, there was a woman who lived in the surrounding area who was out there. She was a photographer for the New York Times. And you all can look this up, listener friend, friend listeners. I am, there's a huge picture of me. I'm a whole lot skinnier than I. Well, there's a picture of me standing next to a woman. The moment that the first tower collapse, because now, because it's like a train wreck, you can't stop watching
it.
So we're staring at this shit, right? Like bugging out, and everybody's like, oh, this is definitely terrorism. And I'm like, oh shit, yeah, it probably is terrorism. And we watch as the first tower that collapsed, we watch it collapse.
Oh my goodness.
And when it happened, me and this lady just that was standing next to us, we grabbed each other and we're sitting here crying. And at that moment, a photographer from the New York Times who happened to be there got her camera out.
Yeah.
And she snaps. So the New York Times, Sunday, September 16th, 2001, the back of that newspaper, there is a picture, that picture.
Wow.
Huge picture of me. And I didn't even know until later on. So I have family who lived in Florida, but they had the New York Times deliver it to them. You know, so this is before us getting our news on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
right?
Yes. So,
so we actually had to read the newspaper and watch the news on TV if we wanted news. So, you know, them being from New York, they still wanted New York news. So they had the New York Times deliver it to them. And they're the ones who called my dad and said, did you know Sharnice is in the newspaper? So, yeah, if you do a Google image search, you'll eventually find it. It's out there. And my that photo is also apparently at the 9/11
it made it into the museum.
And I've never seen it. I've never been.
Oh, so we have to go to the museum.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. I've been once just because I'm so.
Yeah. Every time someone goes, I get like a text like.
Yeah.
Or like send me a picture. Like, did you know that you're here at the memorial? Yeah. I'm like, no, I had no idea.
Yeah. I've been. And it's one of those museums. So I'm extremely fascinated with 9/11. I'm extremely fascinated with the Titanic. Mm-hmm. And so these two events kind of like consume, like when I get into a rabbit hole about these two things, it like consumes me. And so I went to the 9/11 Museum, and mm-hmm. it is quite a sombering experience. Yeah, it is really worth a visit, even if you only do it once. Maybe we can go together and we can try to find your picture.
Yeah.
But it is particularly sombering because it's something that we lived through, right? It's very different because I'm detached from the Titanic. You know
what bugs me out about that too? Uh-huh. When we talk about time.
Yeah.
My younger children didn't exist yet.
Crazy.
That really bugs me out.
Crazy.
Like when we talk about because you know when 9/11, I'm like, oh.
They weren't
around. Y'all weren't here.
So they're going to be reading about this in the history books.
Exactly.
And they trying have, to talk yeah. to, you know, to yeah. try to get a better understanding of
and
what
happened.
And you
know what that reminds me of?
Mm.
When our elders tell us about the March on Washington.
Yes.
And things like that.
Yes.
That they experienced live.
Yeah.
That we learned about.
Yeah, except we don't really get to read the March on Washington in our books.
No. No.
We don't.
Yeah. And there's
that's
lots of
internal,
things.
Internal. That's home learning.
There's lots of things now that our children are not going to be learning about.
Mm.
But we'll, I digress.
We'll get there. We will get there. But just that little excerpt about him trying to make sense of Rand, going back to the book listener, Rand trying to make sense of his time and as the great Erykah Badu says, time is just a social construct, baby. Mm-hmm, it doesn't mm-hmm, really exist, mm-hmm. which is why she can tell you she's going to do a show at 8 and then hit the stage at 4:30.
Right.
The next day, you know, but I related to that because there's so many events that have happened that make me go, what? Even little minuscule things oh man, when's the last time I wore this outfit? Because you know, you try not to wear an outfit mm-hmm. a bunch of times in a row. And you're oh, I just wore this yesterday. Oh, I can't wear this again today. Oh man. You know, or it's 9/11 that happened 22 years ago at this point.
Well, listen, what bugs me out about time, about the year, right?
Mm-hmm,
so it's 2023.
Mm-hmm.
But why is 1990 not 10 years ago?
Oh, because it's 2023, girl.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
it feels it's really strange. Like when I'm thinking about a date,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about something that happened, you know, in my mind, I'm like, that wasn't that long ago. That was only 1990
something.
Or how
about the fact that Barack Obama was elected? How many years ago has it been now?
What,
14 years ago?
Yeah. Crazy.
15 years ago?
15.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember that day.
My youngest child is 15.
Like it was yesterday.
Well, she'll be 16, but yeah.
Like I very vividly, and I think it was so special for me when he got elected because I was walking through the streets of Harlem. Mm-hmm. I was literally walking from Lexington Avenue to the West Side to get to Lenox to catch the 2 train.
Mm-hmm.
And all you hear, you know, Harlem is a very Afrocentric. Back then it was very, it can be Afrocentric.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And during that time, during that moment in history, when he was announced the winner of that
mm-hmm.
election,
mm-hmm.
all you hear is people yelling from their window, like, "Bet we did that shit."
You know, our very good friend, Juliet, she had a whole party.
She's so dope like that.
She had a whole party.
She is so dope like that. I wish I knew her back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, I remember almost being brought to tears, having to fight it because it's
mm-hmm.
I am alive to witness our first black
and it made
president.
Me sad because my grandparents weren't here
yes
to witness that
yes
I,
yeah
I would want to know what would you think what do you make of this you know
that's interesting
crazy.
Because now that you mention it I should get my grandmother's thoughts on that because my grandmother is still here
holla
bless,
at her
bless she just turned
holla
84
at her. Holla
so
at,
I'm
holla
definitely
at her.
Gonna sit down with her.
So my grandmother, if she was still alive, she would have been 103. So
and then that reminds me of a certain someone that you're acquainted with who's 100.
She is 90. She's she's going to turn 99 this December.
This December?
Yes.
I would love
we can do that
at her feet.
First of all,
because Lucid.
First of all, her story is just amazing. Full anyway.
Faculties.
She's such an incredible person.
Yeah.
That shout out to Dr. Gloria Hobbs.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
This is who we're talking about.
Yes.
Dr. Gloria Hobbs. Google her.
Yeah.
Google her.
Do yourself a favor.
Just Google her. Amazing. We don't even need to say anything else about her.
Amazing. Dr. Life.
Gloria Hobbs.
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
And I have access to this person. Yeah. We can absolutely sit down with Dr. Hobbs.
Please set it up.
Yeah.
Because I will. That. She need a foot bath. I'll bring the water.
Listen.
Okay. Because
she's so sweet.
Yes.
She's so super sweet. Yeah.
I told you she will. I'll tell you off the mic. She's, oh man. Like, so yeah, I definitely want to sit with my grandmother and just kind of.
Definitely.
Get her thoughts about that. I don't know why it didn't like dawn on me to be like, so how you feel about that? And then she probably gonna be like, it was great. What do you want me to say? It's right. My grandmother, but you know.
Right.
But yeah, there's just this idea.
This whole time thing is crazy. It's it's really crazy.
Like,
I was talking to the person who asked me if I had a laptop growing up.
Oh, we back.
We were talking about God, I never felt so old. I hated that the answer was no too. I hated.
But that's
did you
part.
Have a, did you have a laptop?
I would have lied.
No,
I'd have lied. I'd be like, exist. No, I'd have like, what do you think? Because I'm sure that he was aware of the age difference. So for him to be like, so tell me about the 1900s. Like, well, first of all, be easy, right? I need you to slow your roll, right. Young child. Right.
The 1900s, you know. But was what I love about. The generation that I'm in is we witnessed a huge shift in technology. So, you know, my generation and your generation too.
Yeah, to an extent. Yeah.
We know what it's like to live without the internet.
Yep.
To live without instant access to information.
Yeah.
To live without cell phones.
Yeah.
To when you make an appointment to meet with somebody, you have to trust that person is going to show up at the appointed time and date.
Because you can't call them.
You're not calling them on the way. You may call and leave a message on their answer machine at home.
You have to, you got to drop the dime and be like, I'm literally on my way.
Putting a dime in the payphone.
Yeah.
And then
be like, meet me on the corner of 168th Street and Boston Road. But I'm going to be standing in front of Ernie's. I'm wearing a purple shirt.
But guess what? It worked.
It did.
You know, we traveled.
Yeah.
And did not have GPS.
And it was a great excuse for, how come you didn't call me? Let me know you was coming. I didn't have any money.
No more for the payphone. Yep. I didn't have any money for the payphone.
So sorry.
Yeah, and I was out in these streets.
Yep.
Without money for the payphone.
I was doing hood rat shit with my friends.
Right. and it was fine. And we were fine.
And we were okay. Right? That was a valid excuse. Like, okay.
And then we get to see life with all of these wonderful advances in technology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think about my grandparents.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about FaceTime. Can you imagine? My grandparents would get a trip out of FaceTime. Like, just cell phones, period.
Man, I tried to put my grandmother on the FaceTime. I think at a certain point, they're just like, baby, just put the number.
So, you know, my mother uses FaceTime. She gets a kick out of it every time. She loves FaceTime. Oh, my gosh. She giggles every time. When I FaceTime her,
your mom has an iPhone.
I got my mom an iPhone.
Girl,
and when I FaceTime her, she giggles. She's so tickled.
Oh,
by having a video chat like this.
Really?
Like, yeah, she giggles every time.
That is amazing.
It's hilarious. Yeah. It's so funny.
Man.
But yeah. Aww. All right. So you got anything else for us?
I did, but I feel like
we've been talking
the ear off.
Yeah. You don't have any word and shade for these past two chapters?
I don't, because I just feel like
circumstances. They were just in their circumstances.
Yeah,
life was life in.
Matt wasn't as much of a degenerate as he is usually in the other.
Well, he had to step up.
Right. I'm sparing him a water and shade. Yeah, and they were just I mean, the way life's been lifing on me, I was very eager to give them grace these chapters. Like, I understand. Me too.
Yeah, we going
I'm on a
too.
Journey too.
Yeah. every time you sit down and relax, here comes a baby dark friend. Right? Poor Pater.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about willpower, but I think I can save that.
Okay.
Save it for the next one. Yeah, we'll see how the next chapters are looking.
Okay. So what do you think we have in store for us? We get to Camelin. What's going to happen?
Oh, my gosh.
What are we going to see in Camelin? What do you think we're going to see in Camelin? Are we going to see anybody else? Are we going to meet up with folks? You said before that we're not meeting anybody until the end of the book. Yeah. So you're still sticking with that.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, I had initially also thought that maybe... Rand and Matt would run into Perrin and Egwene as they're captive by the Children of the Light in Camelin.
Because they're headed to Camelin.
They're headed to Camelin, but I feel like it's going to be one of those circumstances where, again, I feel like something, because stuff has been very, predictable.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like something's going to pop off in Camelin. Okay. They've got a false dragon there. We've got Aes Sedai there. It's kind of like the mixture of a perfect storm.
Okay.
So I feel like, I don't know, maybe the false dragon breaks out and he's like, ruh, ruh, like a dungeon dragon all over the all
he's
over
Busta
the
Rhymes.
He's Busta Rhymes. All over the town. I don't know whatever false dragons do. I don't know. Breathing fire. I don't know. But I feel like it's some shit that's going to go down in Camelin and it's going to force Matt and Rand to keep going.
They gotta leave, so they're not staying in Camelin long.
No. And I feel like as far as like Perrin and Egwene go, they're with the Children of the Light, so I think they're gonna end up in Camelin anyway for a longer time than normal.
Okay.
And I think maybe Moiraine and Lan will and Nynaeve will meet Perrin and Egwene in Camelin. No, they're not meeting up in Camelin.
Okay.
They're not. I think something's going to go down.
So you think Perrin and Egwene and the White Cloaks will be in Camelin simultaneously with Rand and Matt, but they don't see each other?
Maybe. I think that's going to be a thing where they kind of miss each other.
Like they kind of like just turned the corner.
Right. And it's going to be some kind of like chaos or something.
Yeah. And they don't even know that they're both there.
Yeah.
Okay.
And nobody has a point anymore.
Maybe they'll even see the White Cloaks. Like, oh shit, look, there's some White Cloaks. And not know that.
Yeah. And they like... Well, we know to avoid them.
Yeah.
So they're going to dip it.
Right. So they dip them.
Yeah.
Not knowing that their friends are right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're not going to meet up. They're going to keep it pumping.
Okay.
With their tired asses. They better be glad this is happening while they're 20 because...
Do the wolves go into Camelin?
No,
probably
that's where
not,
the people
they don't
are.
Like people,
they
right?
do not like people.
Mm-mm. They don't like people. Mm-mm. They don't do people.
Mm-mm. And we already lost, too. Was it Hopper? We lost
Hopper. Poor Hopper.
We lost that. Hi, Melissa.
Yeah, shout out
Come
to
on
Melissa.
Back down.
We gotta have you back on an episode.
Yeah.
We're so sorry.
You let us know which chapters. Hit us offline, girl. You know.
Yeah.
Hit us offline.
Holla at us.
Okay. Yeah. That's my little. Oh, I have a jingle for. No, I did the jingle already.
You did.
I did. Okay.
Asinine predictions.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. So I'm not doing it again. Okay. Cool.
All right.
So, yeah, those are my asinine predictions.
Wow. I think that's it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, I don't have a podcast to pick up. I just couldn't think of one.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there is a new Discord server.
Listen, we big every and anything up that we want.
Yeah.
So this is our show.
I just joined this Discord server yesterday or something. Or the day before. I apologize. I don't know who runs it. But it is a Wheel of Time Discord server, and it's called Discord of Time.
Ooh, fancy! I probably can't join it.
And we talk about
makes
the,
it.
Yeah, they talk about the show.
Fancy, bada me, but whatever.
Yeah, the show and the books are discussed.
Oh wow, everything that's fun.
But we also have our Discord server.
Yay!
So please, listeners.
Yeah.
Please, we will have the link in the description box. We want you to let us know what you think about anything that we've said today.
Yeah, and thank you for keeping the conversation going while we were on our little hiatus.
Yes,
we really appreciate the activity, the discourse.
It's
really important to us and important to the show.
It does.
And it makes us feel good, and it makes it definitely made us make sure that we were coming back.
Yes.
Yeah. we can't just end it. Yeah, yeah.
We have a little community.
Yeah, we have a community, and it's a dope ass community of listener, friend, listeners.
We appreciate and love you all.
Yes, yes, of course, of course.
All right. So also, we are attempting to, we'll see if this recording today gets released very quickly. Mm-hmm. And if it does, we'll be in the middle of the 4th of July.
Woo, woo. Happy birthday, America. You don't look a day over slavery, girl. With your old crinkly ass.
Oh, shit.
Wow. America. Fuck yeah.
America.
But even on a higher note than that, happy Juneteenth, happy my sister.
Yes, happy Juneteenth. Yes. Happy belated Father's Day.
Happy belated Father's Day. I don't know if we did that in the last show. I can't remember. Father's Day to all the pappies.
That was 3 weeks ago. We released
Tam. Shout out to you.
Shout out to because Tam is my
Tam
father.
Tam is the pappy.
Tam is my father.
You could do the DNA. You can call Maury for that one.
Right.
Yeah. So tell them what we'll be doing next week ish.
the way life has been.
Put a little disclaimer.
So next week ish. We will possibly next week be talking about chapter 35, which is called Camelin.
Oh, we made it. Sorry. It only took us 39,000 pages.
Yes. And chapter 36 is called Web of the Pattern.
That sounds like more storytelling.
Think it's just storytelling?
Web of the Pattern?
Mm-hmm.
What's the... No, don't tell me.
You want to know what the symbol?
Yeah, no, but don't tell me. Don't tell me.
Okay.
So Web of the Pattern. I'm going to predict that it's going to be a Nynaeve, Lan Amarine chapter.
Okay.
Because it feels like Footprints on the Wind or whatever those other chapters were. Right? It's giving that kind of energy for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then also it kind of feels like Moraine is going to be like, all right, listen up. I got a story to tell. Like, it feels very much like...
We getting when a history
she,
lesson?
Yeah, like when she went into the two rivers, and she had to, like,
she taught them about Manetherin.
Yeah, she had to tell them about Manetherin. It's giving that kind of energy.
Okay.
So this is gonna be Moraine, Lan, and Nynaeve, and Moraine is gonna be like, I sit the fuck down. Let me tell you what's going on.
Okay.
Maybe not the whole what's going on, because you know, Aes Sedai, but she's gonna fill her in a smidge.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So in the meantime.
And in between time.
And in between time. And we don't know how long the between time is going to be. So,
we make no promises.
We can't anymore, right? But you can. You can find us on social media on the Trinity of Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all at Watt in Color. You can listen to us and subscribe to us wherever podcasts are available. So, wherever you decide to go click play, we up in there. So go listen to us. Go catch up. We gave you a little bit of a breaky break to catch up if you haven't caught up. And thank you for catching up if you did catch up. We appreciate you so much.
Yes.
You can chat with us in our Discord. Please, please, please. And thank you by clicking the link tree in our bio of any of the social medias or in the description box below. And if you have any questions, you can send them right on over to whatincolor@gmail.com. We be over there too, checking things and responding. So just remember, if you want to say something to us privately or whatever, you can send it to us in an email or whatever. And we check it or whatever. And we may, that's a lie. We will. We be responding. We be responding.
Yes,
we respond. So, whatincolor, WOTINCOLOR@gmail.com.
Yes. So thank you all so much for listening to What in Color. Remember to come in love and go in peace.
Just don't let your feet blister on the 37-week-long journey to Camelin. Deuces.